and then I'll tell you. Genesis 15. I'll preface this before I give it away by asking you a couple questions about where we're going here. Have you ever smelled something cooking or simply thought of a certain food and your stomach started to growl? Anybody? A couple of you? All right. I came in from, I was outside working out in the garage, and I came in yesterday, mid-morning, and before I walked in the door, I could smell bacon. And just a little five-second thought. Number one, I hope that's Sherry making bacon for me. Number two, if it is, that bacon is sure going to taste good because I just worked out and I could use some protein. Sure enough, it was true. She was making bacon. So. But it's interesting how you can smell or you can just think about food at a certain time and you're taking in something here or you're thinking about it and it affects something down here. So that's the first thing I want to think, have you think about. Something up here affects down here. Now, this applies to everybody, sometime or another in your life. You ever have a worrisome thought and the result was what people call butterflies in the stomach? You ever had butterflies? You ever have to give a presentation in front of a group of people and you're not used to doing that? Now, having done this for a while, I'm more used to it, but I still occasionally get the butterflies. But when you first start out, it can be scary. And you get all these thoughts in your mind about how bad it could go. And you're thinking, but what does it affect? Something down here. Very strange, isn't it? I'll tell you a story that's connected with this. When I was a kid, I took piano lessons. And the first piano teacher I had was this little old lady who thought I was the greatest. And she told me often how she thought I was so great. And I just started. I'm probably 7 years old, 8 years old, so obviously I'm not that great. But she told me how great I was. We moved. We were living in a small town, and then we moved to the big city of Dallas. And I got a new piano teacher. He did not tell me how great I was. In fact, he told me, and he was nice about it, but he told me that I needed a lot of work. One thing that I did not understand as a kid that he tried to get me to understand was timing when it comes to music. And I just did not, at that age, at 8, 9 years old, I didn't have a concept of what he meant by timing. So he got the metronome out. If you're familiar with music, got the metronome out. I did not have a clue what he was talking about. So this buildup of me not really liking the piano teacher because I did not understand what he was trying to teach me led to major anxiety. So much that we're on our way to piano lesson. Now, again, this is just me in my mind. I'm thinking about how terrible this is going to be because I can't do what this teacher wants me to do. I can't understand what he's trying to explain to me. So lots of anxiety. We're on our way to the piano lesson in the car, and I'm having a panic attack. Some of you in here have had those before. They're real. But the panic attack was only because of something I was thinking about. And it really wasn't all that bad. This wasn't a big, bad, mean guy. In fact, later on, he became my youth pastor, and he was an awesome guy. But at the time, I was very intimidated, and I had all this panic. So I had my mom convinced that I couldn't breathe because I was scared, and it was a true panic. The only time in my life I can remember having that severe panic attack where I really felt like I couldn't breathe. And you know what? I got over it, got past that. And I tell you all that because what you think about can affect your physical reaction to things. Do you agree? Your mind can really be an aid to you or it can be a great hindrance to you. So I want to go a little further with what we're going to talk about this morning with things going on internally that can affect your mood, your thought processes, just how you feel. So that's where we're going to go. So here's the word I'd like to talk about. I'll give this away. Here's the word I'd like to trace through the Bible this morning. The word bowels. You might be thinking, what in the world? Maybe you're thinking of IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, which I've never had, but apparently you don't want. Or maybe you're thinking of, and again, I'm just saying what you're probably thinking, bowel movement. I don't think I have to tell you what that is. Okay, you're on the right track right off the bat with bowels, something related to the stomach area, right? Your Bible is going to go a whole lot deeper than just that. And I'll show you some of that, and then I'll go a little deeper. And at the end, Lord willing, we'll try to put this all together and show you something really neat that is in your Bible that doctors and scientists took a long time to figure out. In fact, it's only been the last probably 10 years you really have started to hear this, and you got to dig to hear it from only certain doctors and scientists. So, you had a comment, Brother John? Okay, yeah. So we'll get there. So just bear with me as we go through the scriptures. What I want to do as we read these scriptures, I think I'll make a list here. And as we go through these scriptures, we will categorize some things as being either physical or spiritual. And I'm actually going to put, because this goes, you'll see how this goes hand in hand, hopefully by the end, but emotional. So spiritual / emotional, something you can't really put your hands on, whereas something physical you can put your hands on, all right? So let's start, look at the first one. This is the first time bowels is mentioned in the Bible. So look at Genesis 15. This is the Lord speaking to Abraham here. We'll just read down to verse 4. That's where you'll find the word, but let's get a little context. Verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. So this is before Abram had given, had fathered a child. And here the Lord says, You will have a child that will be yours from your physical seed. So the first time bowels is mentioned in your Bible, it's actually associated with something physical, and we're just going to say the seed, or you could say the seat of generation, and obviously that's pertaining only to a male, right? God talking to Abram there. With me so far? You wouldn't think, knowing what you know about bowels, or at least knowing what I know about bowels, you would not associate that normally with the word bowels, would you? But the Bible does. I'll do my best at the end to try to tie everything together. So just stay with me here. Go to Genesis 25. And now you're going to see the second mention associated with a woman. Well, there in Genesis 15, just obviously it's a woman rather than a man. This is the wife of Isaac. This is Rebekah. And if you look at verse 21, 25, 21. Second time, you'll see bowels in a couple verses here. Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, If it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. Okay, watch verse 23. The Lord said unto her, Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. So notice in your Bible, the Lord tells you what he refers to when he uses the word bowels in that verse. Let's read that verse again, 23. Lord said unto her, Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. So in this case, bowels is used to refer to what? The womb, yeah. And I think you can put this off, obviously, on the physical side. The womb. And where is the womb? Isn't it on a woman in the stomach region? Correct? So we've got the first two mentions here having to do with the male with the seed and then the female with the womb. Okay? Go to Genesis 43. It's really interesting how the Lord puts this all in order on purpose. The third time you see bowels is in Genesis 43, and you will see something that is not physical here. Genesis 43, and if I get going too fast, you know how I sometimes do. Stop me, ask questions, or get me to clarify if I get going a little too quick here. This is the account where Joseph has met his brothers, and you remember the account. He recognizes them. He knows who they are, but they don't really know who he is yet. He hasn't revealed himself to them. So go down to verse 27, 43, 27. Go to 26. We'll pick it up, paragraph mark there, 26. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand into the house and bowed themselves to him to the earth. And he asked them of their welfare and said, "Is your father well? The old man of whom you spake, is he yet alive?" So he's talking about their father Jacob. And they answered, "Thy servant our father is in good health. He is yet alive." And they bowed down their heads and made obeisance. And they lifted up his, and he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son. Now, before I go on here, do you remember Jacob had children with four different women? He had two children with Rachel, Joseph, and Benjamin. So all these are Joseph's brothers, but only one of them is his full brother. Same mom, same dad. That's Benjamin. So look what he says here, 29. He lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, "Is this your younger brother of whom you spake unto me?" And he said, "God be gracious unto thee, my son." Watch verse 30. And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep, and he entered into his chamber and wept there. Okay? Bowels is used in that verse. How would you describe its usage? It's not something associated with the stomach there. What would you say here? Yeah, it's an emotional thing for sure. Go a little further with that. If you had to put a synonym in there to describe his bowels did yearn upon his brother, what's happening here? Yeah, okay. I've got two things put together here. Perfect. Just what I had down. His heart is longing or desiring after his brother. So I'm going to write up here, a longing or desiring of the heart. This is something that's not physical. Would you agree? Notice what's happening here. Watch the detail. All that happens with Joseph is he sees his brother. Seeing his brother. I mean, can you just try to be Joseph here for a minute? Haven't seen him in the longest time. And he knows that this is the only one that's got the same mom as him. And he really wants Benjamin to know who he is, but he can't yet. So he really wants to communicate with him, "Oh, I'm your brother," but he can't. So there's this longing and desire to be united with his brother, but he's not going to do it quite yet. He will later on. And what happens as a result? Notice what he does in verse 30. It says he sought where to weep. So there is an emotional response just to seeing something, and the Bible uses the word bowels to connect that. So let me stop and just show you. We've seen bowels in a physical sense, and now we're seeing it in a non-physical sense. Now here's what's interesting. I did not take the time to go through another translation to see if this all fits, but I know for sure that you can't put all the pieces together from another translation because they've substituted too often the word bowels for the word heart. And if you do that, you miss a really neat connection here. So stay with me here as we go on. Let's go over to, I think it's 1 Samuel. Yeah, 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel 20. And again, we're just getting different usages of the same word. And God uses that word on purpose with different things so that we might tie them all together. So this is obviously causing us to do some comparing, doing some study, and doing some thinking to try to put all these things together. And again, just bear with me here, and you'll see how all these things are intertwined, and you get something really neat at the end. 2 Samuel 20. And what you want to look at is Is it physical? Is it something other than that? Is it spiritual, emotional? And specifically, physical or spiritual, what does it pertain to? So verse 8, 2 Samuel 20, verse 8. This is a little battle going on here between Amasa and Joab. They were at odds with one another, these two military fellows. Verse 8. And they were at the great stone, which is Gibeon. When they were at the great stone, which is Gibeon, Amasa went before them. And Joab's garment that he had put on was girded unto him, and upon it a girdle with a sword fastened upon his loins in the sheath thereof. And as he went forth, it fell out. So his sword falls out. Joab said to Amasa, "Art thou in health, my brother?" And Joab took Amasa by the beard with the right hand to kiss him. But Amasa took no heed to the sword that was in Joab's hand. So he smote him therewith in the fifth rib and shed out his bowels to the ground and struck him not again, and he died. Okay, kind of a strange account there, isn't it? Joab kills Amasa, and he kills him with the sword. And where does it say he got him? Under the fifth rib. So, specifically, where is that? You can kind of count down here. It's actually right around the middle of the stomach. I guess if you go middle of the chest, right above the stomach region. But notice what it mentions there. What happened? His bowels fell out. So, now you're talking about something related to the stomach. And I think you could probably go on to refer to specifically intestines. And I'll show you some more on that here in a minute. So, kind of interesting. Same word, and you want to make sure you get that. The same word is used for, so far we got three different physical things, and we've got one on the spiritual / emotional side. So let's keep adding to this list and see what we get here. Go to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 3. Anybody got any, you follow me so far, got any questions, comments, please feel free to. Something clicks with you and you want to make a comment, please feel free. Or if you have a question. Okay, this is the account where these two women are trying to let Solomon determine whose child it is. Remember this? So without giving you all the context here, hopefully you're a little bit familiar with this. Look at verse 24. You know that Solomon here gets a solution to this problem. Sounds kind of strange, but actually he gets the truth to come out here. 3:24, 1 Kings 3:24. And the king said, "Bring me a sword." And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, "Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other." So watch what happens when he says that. 26. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, "O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it." But the other said, "Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it." Okay, so Solomon, what a great act of wisdom. He actually determined who the real mother was, because the real mother would not want her child to die, correct? So the real mother says, "Give my child to that woman so that the child doesn't die." But did you notice what it mentions there? It says, her bowels yearned upon her son. Okay, so would you say it's something we've already got up here, the usage of bowels, or would you say it's something different? What would you say here? We say? Something we already got? It's actually very similar to this. There's a longing, there's a desire, but notice it mentions the bowels. So we've seen bowels connected with something physical. You want to make sure you get this. We've seen it physical, specifically this, but you can obviously put those in there because the Bible has them. But also, same word, using an emotional attachment. You see that? So when you study this through your Bible, hopefully you say, there's a reason why God used that same exact word, but in completely different ways. One is physical, and one is obviously more on the emotional, spiritual side. With me so far? Let's see if we can add to the list. Go over to Song of Solomon. This one will be similar to what we just saw, but slightly different. You know that Song of Solomon, the book that you hardly hear anybody preach out of, right? Very unusual book. But do you know that this book is about a man and a woman in a marriage relationship and their emotional attachment, which is the way it should be within a marriage. There should be a deep emotional attachment. Song of Solomon, go to chapter 5. And go down there to verse 4. If you've studied the book, if you've read through the book even, there's dialogue that goes back and forth between the bride and the bridegroom. And when you study this, you want to think about how if you're saved, you are a part of the bride of Christ. So you'll see great love on the part of the bride, of the bridegroom for the bride in this book. And it ought to remind you of the great love that Jesus Christ has for you and me, being a part of His bride, right? So there's that going on. But then you also have, obviously, this attachment emotionally between the man and his wife. So look at verse 4. My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. So there's bowels mentioned as moving, and how would you connect that one? What would you say about that one? As I was talking to Sherry about this, she brought up whenever we first met and how there was this, I'm talking about very first, before it went, we're talking like just a few days or a few weeks in, there's a puppy love when the romance first begins to be kindled. And you see the person, and there's just an excitement on the inside about seeing them. Notice in that verse there, verse 4, all that happens, says, my beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door. So she's anticipating him coming in to see her, and there is an excitement there. Her bowels were moved, because look at verse 5, I rose up to open to my beloved. So there is a, you could say there's a longing or a desire of the heart, but now we can add to this, and it's right there. There's a romantic desire. And obviously that's associated with the emotions, but are you seeing that in that verse? Would you say anything else about that that you see there? Can we put anything more? Tell me if you're thinking about something that else we could put there. But you see the romantic end of things is also connected with the word bowels, okay? All right, let's go on to Jeremiah, and we'll really get into, I would say the heart of the matter, but I'm giving away. But we are. 4:19. Jeremiah 4, verse 19. Try to put all these in order for us. We go through Jeremiah chapter 4, look at verse 19. 4:19, my bowels, I am pained at my very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace because thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. All right, notice the construction of that verse. He starts off with saying, my bowels, and then the next sentence he says, my very heart. So what can you associate with bowels here? The heart. Physical or spiritual? What do you think? I think you probably could make a case for both. But if you take a look there, he's alarmed there at the sound of war and something happens internally. Now, I'm going to put this on both sides because you know that spiritually speaking, the heart is who you really are, wouldn't you say? We'll talk about this morning in the message about God searching our hearts. And who knows you better than God? Nobody. So your heart is the real you. But you all know that something externally, something on the outside, can affect you on the inside. Have you ever had your heart start speeding up, your physical heart start speeding up, if the heart rate starts going boom, boom, boom really fast? What causes that? Give me some things that can cause that. Fear can cause, you better believe it. Yeah. What else? Worry? Anxiety? Say again? It could be excitement. Yeah. All these things. or if you drink a lot of coffee in the morning, right? For sure. My dad, he had to get this very minor heart procedure a couple of years ago done. I'm trying to think what it was called there. Oblation. Is that what it's called, Miss Katie? Okay. So I say minor. He was in and out real quick, so I thought it was, but probably a big deal, yeah. But the doctor told him, he said, okay, you got one cup of coffee a day, and that's it. Because it's obviously not good for that kind of procedure to have that accelerated heart often. So anyway, you've got both things going on here. The physical, isn't this interesting? You want to really get some insight on this? Talk to Tracy, who's in her, well, Katie can tell the same thing. She's medical field here, too. But I had a conversation with Tracy here just not too long ago. She was talking about, you can speak to this, Miss Katie. You can look at a person's blood profile without ever having seen them, and you can draw conclusions about their lifestyle. Is that true? So isn't that wild? And what is it that pumps blood through your body? That thing right there. If this stops working, you're in trouble. So this really is physically an organ that keeps you alive. It's got a lot to do with you physically. And then on this side, the real you on a spiritual side is the word. The Bible uses the word heart over and over to show you that. So get your heart right with God. I used to hear that as a kid a lot. Still need to hear that. Get your heart right. What's that mean? You get right. The real you from the deepest, as deep as you can go. Get right with the Lord. So a lot going on here so far, right? One word. A lot going on here. How could these things possibly be connected? Some of you probably already know this, but let's go on. Lamentations 1. Next book in your Bible, Lamentations. If you're here on Wednesday night in June, we went through this. Boy, it was a tough book, but there's a lot of nuggets in this book. Verse 20. You'll see something very similar to what we saw in Jeremiah, because Jeremiah is the one talking here in Lamentations. Lamentations 1:20. Lamentations 1, verse 20. Behold, O Lord, for I am in distress. My bowels are troubled. Mine heart is turned within me, for I have grievously rebelled. Wow. Abroad the sword bereaveth, at home there is as death. Okay, there's a big emotion going on in that verse there. So first off, I would say that bowels, he says, my bowels are troubled, mine heart is turned within me. So you got that connection, but he's in distress. Do you think there might be something physical going on in his stomach here as well as a result of this? I would say very likely, but notice there, bowels and heart are directly related there with Jeremiah's statements there. Okay, go on over to Ezekiel, next book, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Look at chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3. Look at verse 1. Ezekiel 3:1. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. Okay, before I tell you what I have on this one, I'll just get it from you. The use of bowels in verse 3. What would you associate that with? He says, fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. And it had something to do with eating. So what would you say on that one? Anybody? Bowels are associated with? Yeah, again, the stomach. I'm going to put something additional here. We'll just say digestion. Or I'm going to put, actually, I'll put, rather than digestion, I'll put digestive system. Because isn't that where food goes? Esophagus, stomach, small intestine, all that good stuff. So digestive system, something physical, obviously. Okay, go to the New Testament. Here's probably the most unusual usage of bowels. Go to Acts chapter 1. Some of you know about this one. Probably a lot of you. Sometimes the Bible just tells you things exactly as they are, and they're kind of gross. And this is one of those accounts. And God purposely did not give us a video to watch the history of what has happened. He recorded things in the Bible with words instead of showing us the video, because you would not want to watch the video. And if you just read, you can get in your mind a really good idea of how things work. So, you ever notice that whenever you read a book and then they make a movie out of the movie is never as good as the book anyway, right? You ever notice that? Many times in my life, I read the book, oh, they're going to make a movie on this. Oh, I'm so excited. And I'm so disappointed after the movie. They left out so many things, little details that they should have had in there that they left out completely. And then that thing that they depicted was not anything like I thought it was, because the book was... The book had it in my mind a certain way. So anyway, God gave us the book, amen, not a video. So look at verse 16. This is the apostles all gathered together. Acts chapter 1, verse 16, it says, "Men and brethren," Peter's talking here, "men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity." Let's talk about Judas. "Falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out." You don't want to see that video, do you? You get a pretty good idea of what happened. So, you put some pieces together. This would be my best guess. I cannot say this for certain. But do you remember there was an earthquake when the Lord gave up the ghost on the cross? You remember that? And it could be. You remember what happened to Judas? Judas went out and hung himself. Remember that? It could be that there he is hanging, and then the earthquake caused him to fall, because what's it say happened there? It said he fell, and whenever he fell, I won't tell you the rest, but you get the idea? That's my guess. I don't know for sure if that's how it all happened, but Judas somehow fell, and all his bowels gushed out. So again, here we got the stomach. Or I'll just put it up here, kind of like we would say it, all his insides came out. So there's another one. All right, now, that is all as far as I want to cover. I think there's 37 verses that have the word bowels. I think we've gone through maybe 8 or 10. I'm not going to go through all of them. But at this point, just take a look at what we've got, and I don't want you to miss this last part, because the next ones we're going to look at are all used by Paul in his epistles. And you will see that his usage of the word bowels, it definitely is not going to fit here. And it doesn't completely fit here, but it sort of does. So let me show you. Go to Philippians chapter 1. Show you about 3 or 4 that Paul used. Philippians chapter 1. And it's really interesting, if you get to Paul's letters and you see the word bowels and you haven't already had the knowledge of how bowels have been used in your Bible, you might get confused. And this is where, particularly in Paul's letters, the new translations change the word bowels to heart. And you miss out on this if you don't connect all the dots. Okay, so Philippians 1, and go down to verse 8. Look what he says here. He's talking to these people at Philippi. Verse 8, "For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of" who? The bowels of Jesus Christ. Okay, so him saying the bowels of Jesus Christ, do you think he's talking physical or spiritual here? It's got to be something spiritual. Now, what is this about the bowels of Jesus Christ? Well, I'm just going to put up here something associated with the Lord. I'll put specifically with Jesus Christ. And then we'll add to this. It doesn't seem to fit to think about the Lord's stomach. It seems greater than that. And you know that just on the basis of looking at Paul's letter to these people, where he's talking about their spiritual needs. And then he mentions in the midst of this the bowels of Jesus Christ. So go to Colossians 3, and again, you've got to keep stacking up the scriptures here, or else you're not going to draw a good conclusion. You end up having to do a lot of guesswork, and the Lord would have us study so we don't have to guess. study so that you can actually put things together and make a good conclusion based on what the Bible says. So Colossians 3, look at verse 12. Look what he says here. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of, and he mentions several things, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And he goes on and says, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. All those things, that whole list, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearance, charity, all those are connected with what word? Bowels. So I'm going to add up here. I'm going to put it under things associated with Jesus Christ that only can come out of me and you because Christ is bringing it out of us, working in us. These are all desirable spiritual characteristics. I mean, don't you want to be merciful? Don't you want to be kind? Don't you want to be humble? Don't you want to be meek, long-suffering? Don't you want to be all those things? Hopefully, if you're saved, you want to be all those things. How are you going to be all those things? The answer is you and me are not. It's going to have to be yielding to the Holy Spirit so the Lord works in us and brings it out of us. But what's the word he uses? The word bowels. So there's something spiritual. So I started off here, well, the Bible started off, we saw the emotional. But is there a relationship between all those spiritual characteristics and you having emotions that are tied in with those? Would you say yes or no? How does somebody know you're being merciful or kind? Isn't your emotion, aren't your emotions often connected with that? It could be shedding a tear. It could be just a sympathetic word. There's all kinds of emotions that are associated with these desirable spiritual characteristics. So God has intertwined emotions with something spiritual. And don't forget all this. You say, what in the world? Stay with me here. I think we got just enough time to do this. How about one more on bowels in Paul's letters? Go to Philemon. Philemon, chapter 1. Philemon. It's only got one chapter. So go to verse 7. Philemon 1, verse 7. Paul again. He says, for we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are what? Isn't that interesting? The bowels of the saints are refreshed by the brother. I'm just going to put this up here because that's what it says. Your bowels can be what, according to that verse? Refreshed. Okay, physical, spiritual. What do you think? There's got to be. There's got to be something spiritual going on there. By the way, hopefully you come to church for spiritual refreshment. One of many reasons to come to church. I know we worship the Lord, we praise the Lord. Yeah. But hopefully when the word goes forth, you are spiritually refreshed. Okay, let's put all this together. Let's try. And I thought I would appeal to that place in our country that so many people go to for learning of the highest, Harvard. Now, sometimes they get it right. Sometimes they don't get it right. But I'm going here because this is medical science, the medical field and science going to come together, and they're going to draw conclusions that are drawn by their medical studies, their scientific studies, that a study of the Bible reveals without their scientific studies. So before I read it to you, I think some of you probably already know, so let me get your feedback on this. What is this relationship? These are obviously different usages, but God purposely used the same word. So there must be, since God used the same word, there must be some kind of relationship. Yes, they're different, but can they also be related? What say you? Help me out here. What are you thinking about here? Brother John, you were had this early on here, so what are you thinking? Yeah, there you go. Physical and emotional are tied together for sure. What do you think, Miss Katie? I see the wheels turning. So you're saying our innermost affections have something to do with where we are physically? I would agree with you. The Bible would, and so would Harvard. It matters. Anybody else? And what I'm going to read you here is actually not been on the forefront of the medical field and science. I think maybe the last 10 years. It was probably around before this, but people really started to bring this out, I'd say, in the last 10 years. So I'm just going to read this to you. The brain, isn't that what you used to think? The brain has a direct effect on the stomach and intestines. For example, and I already mentioned this, but I'll just read it. The very thought of eating can release the stomach's juices before food gets there. This connection goes both ways. A troubled intestine can send signals to the brain, just as a troubled brain can send signals to the gut. Therefore, watch this part. A person's stomach or intestinal distress can be, now this, I would not say this is always fits, but it can be the cause or the product of anxiety, stress, or depression. That's because the brain and the gastrointestinal system are intimately connected. So here's what I want to bring out here. In science, the medical field will tell you all about this, but the Bible already had it. The brain-gut connection. Have you ever heard this before? Brain-gut connection. All right? You ever go to the doctor when you're sick and they prescribe these things for you? Put this on the top here. They prescribe these things. Antibiotics, you ever had those? We all have, right? You know what something that's biotic is? It's alive. If something is antibiotic, it's going to destroy something that's alive. So when you get antibiotics, they oftentimes work and they make you feel better. And then you know what else happens sometimes? Those antibiotics kill good bacteria down here in your gut. Did you know there's such a thing as good bacteria? There is. And what's gotten popular in the health supplement field just the last, I'd say, 10 years are these things. Probiotics. Found in certain foods like yogurt has a lot of probiotics in it, the right kind of yogurt, the Greek yogurt particularly, the one that's better for you. But pro means for, in favor of, bio. So you need to actually have good bacteria down here. So here's what I'm saying. You've got a lot of people on medications that kill that which is hurting them, harming them. Okay, good. But also ends up taking out, destroying the good bacteria in their gut. And do you think when that good bacteria is disrupted in the gut that it might affect the way somebody's emotional state is? We just saw all this. Absolutely. For sure it does. So let me go a little further here. Given how, this is all Harvard again, given how closely the gut and brain interact, it becomes easier to understand why you might feel nauseated before giving a presentation or feel intestinal pain during time of stress. That doesn't mean that that functional gastrointestinal conditions are imagined or, quote, all in your head. Now get this, this is Harvard, they say this. Psychology combines with physical factors to cause pain and other bowel symptoms. And they use the word bowel. Psychosocial factors influence the actual physiology of the gut as well as symptoms. In other words, stress can affect movement and contractions of the GI tract. So I put all this together to show us science has just figured out in the last 10 years and made it really public to try to help people, because sometimes they do want to help us, believe it or not. Doesn't seem like that all the time, but they do sometimes. There's a serious connection between these two things. And guess who spelled it out real clear before the scientists at Harvard figured it out? God did, because the Lord made you and me. And
You have bowels. I have bowels.
Yeah, there's something physical in me that are bowels.
Yeah.
And there's also something spiritual and emotional that are associated with bowels. So, yeah, there is this connection between things physical and things spiritual. Now, do you know a lot of people that are in a mess when it comes to their mental state? Do you? Now, I'm not saying every time, but could it have something to do with what they're putting in their gut? And what I'm specifically referring to, Katie can speak to this a whole lot better than I can, but a lot of the medicines floating around that actually are harmful to the gut, right? And affect the mental state of people. I think this has a lot to do with some of the craziness, crazy actions taken by people in our world today that we didn't see 20 years ago. Because you know what wasn't around 20 years ago? A lot of the medicines that they give, and I'm not talking about the ones that you get at the doctor necessarily, I'm talking about the ones the psychologist gives out. So you see how there's a real connection here between the gut and the brain, and I'll just say this in closing here. Your spiritual state is the most important. Amen? Isn't that right? But we cannot get around that you can put things into your body physically that also can affect your spiritual state. Think about the hard types of drugs that people use as escape mechanisms. What do they do to that person spiritually? What do they do to that person mentally? It's terrible. It's awful. It's tearing them down. So you better believe that there's a real serious connection. Isn't it interesting that everything we put in our mouth, where does it end up? That's where it goes. And what can it affect? Everything about us. So, all right, I'm gone over time here, but y'all got anything here? Nobody's coming.